Welcome back to Tip TV Finance with Simon French, who's chief economist at Panmure Gordon. How are you today, Simon?
Morning, Zach. Very good. Yourself?
Yes, well, you know, the pneumonia continues, but it still hasn't prevented me from enjoying the shenanigans going on in the Houses of Parliament and the Brexit debate. Is that going to affect the markets at all?
First of all, it seems more exciting what's going on in Washington right now, but also the fact that what we get later today is the vote on the first stage of the parliamentary process, but then it comes back to committee stage, goes into the House of Lords. So we're very much at the start of this process, and the vote, while we'll get some attention this afternoon, I don't think will move markets.
Right, I mean, I notice that sterling is on the strong side. It looks like there's a sort of resistance or a trigger point at $1.26. Is that because it's getting bid up ahead of the Bank of England inflation report, which is going to be nasty, isn't it?
Well, the inflation report's going to show inflation well above the Bank of England's 2% target by the end of the year. But I think what markets will be looking for, which may provide some breakout for sterling, is any suggestion that there it'll be above the tolerance for keeping rates as they are at that emergency level of 0.25%. If they give the eyes to the market around a potential reversal of that 25 bips cut, maybe in an early end to the quantitative easing programme, then you'll see, I think, sterling start to sort of challenge upwards towards 130, because that, coupled with the fact that growth is being upgraded, we had NISA out overnight and the National Institute of Economic and Social Research upgrade their UK growth to 1.7%, put those two together, policy and growth, and there's a fairly strong story for sterling to take back some of its losses since the referendum.
The problem that the government, the anchor part of the core part of the government's policy since 2010 has been to drive the economy via the housing market. Raising rates doesn't go with that, and Carney was brought effectively to keep rates either down or put them down or keep them down. So how's that going to work?
Yeah, look, you make a really good point, which is that, Carney has been very dovish. I think he'll continue to be dovish. I'm just speculating what may happen if the Bank of England don't agree with Mark Carney, the broader MPC, the other eight members, look to just reverse out of that 0.25% cut. I think in reality, UK interest rates are going nowhere material over the next 3 years while we get through the Article 50 process, while there's no real stimulus to try and, deliver tighter money. You don't have a concern over, wage inflation, which is still fairly sort of benign, around 2.5%. So actually, look, even if they did provide 0.25% reversal, I don't think it changes the housing story of the supportive credit market, which you're absolutely right has driven the recovery in the UK.
I mean, it may be slight tangent, but I mean, the issue with the raising rates is that most of the newly created millionaires in property are up to their eyeballs in costs, and the school fees and the Marks and Spencer bills and everything else, and they can't take any rise in interest rates, really. I mean, it could actually collapse the housing market if the rates went up by a percent or two, even.
Oh, yeah, but they're not going to. They're going nowhere of that magnitude. Yeah. What I'm talking about is a potential 25-bip reversal of that emergency cut in August. I completely agree with you in terms of what has happened to the Bank of England over the last decade is it has been captured by households who have become indebted to the point where actually the Bank of England can't raise rates to the kind of levels we saw prior to the financial crisis, because the impact on, consumer spending, on debt burdens would be so material as to start to snuff out growth, push up unemployment, leading to the Bank of England having to reverse that policy. So I completely agree with you. I think what we're looking at is a very, very much smaller move, maybe trying to, provide some underpin support for sterling and recognising the emergency measure that was taken in August isn't really needed right now.
Right, finally, the dollar's had its worst January in three decades, apparently. Is that because, the people looking at Trump and his policies and America and saying, I'd rather put my money somewhere else?
Yeah, I think what had happened is that people had got carried away post Trump's electoral triumph with the idea of this $1 trillion infrastructure program, the idea of very protectionist trade rhetoric, and that delivering the kind of growth that Steve Mnuchin was talking about, 3.5%, 4% year on year. Now, in reality, that is going to be very, very difficult to do, to achieve with the US economy nearing full employment. It's likely to be inflationary, and there's some question marks of whether he'll get congressional support. This is both Mnuchin and Trump will get congressional support for $1 trillion worth of spending that may, you know, deliver a kind of deficit which the Congress, the Republican Congress that are quite fiscally hawkish, may not support. So I think it's a case of the dollar retrenching some of its exuberance rather than going into a trend reversal.
Simon French, Chief Economist, Pamela Gordon, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Cheers, Zach.
Thanks.